Gör istedikle.
Hello, Frog fans. Welcome to Post Game Beers Podcast. We are the Lupton Heavily Drinking Club tonight. I'm your host, Kyle Malloy at YellumK on Twitter, joined by my co-host, Jacob Sailors at JD Sailors, the master of activities. Jacob, when you are desperate for an iconic, legendary finished drink that will remove all your pain and replace it with a refreshing aftertaste, where do you go?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. Guess what I did on Saturday instead of watching bad baseball?
Hopefully you had a nice long drink in your hand.
On the golf course, baby.
How was that?
Oh, my gosh.
Long drink sounds perfect for the golf course.
It is so perfect, man. It made the round, you know? Like we had a nice little scramble going. We lost, but we actually won because our team had long drink. I wasn't able to get over to your place, so I had to buy some at the local Specs. You could also go to King's and pick it up if you're in the Fort Worth area. But I got mine at Total Wine, but you can also get it at Specs.
So
and it hit hard on the golf course.
Surprise for you guys this weekend. Our buddy KR is hooking us up with the not the zero, not the citrus, not the peach, but the 8.5% alcohol by volume black can.
Just for
the rough patch that the Frogs have been in. So hopefully
it's like they knew. It's
we
like
can do a little pre-gamer or something on Friday to get ready, you know?
Perfect.
Yeah. We've got the full LDC crew tonight. We've got our producer, Crazy Ray Cartwright, in the house. We have our uninformed frog, Garrett Evans. We have half of Martin Guerrero, or at least his room, which is
really he's nice. Getting settled in.
Nice Go Mavs flag.
He just got home from the airport.
Yeah. Well, that was yesterday. I don't know if he's still – if it took him that long to get home, but there were some delays in there, which is causing the delay of our show. But before we jump in, you know, join us and follow us on Lupton Beers, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all your social medias. We would appreciate that. Also, just share with your friends and say, hey, I follow these guys. They're fun. I enjoy what they do. Despite the bad season, we're going to listen to their content. So, we're not going to be doing regular recaps tonight. We'll obviously talk about the games, I guess. But nobody really wants to hear a lot of it. We just kind of want to chat about a few things here.
I mean, what is there to say?
Yeah.
There's nothing. I mean, we come on here and talk every week aside from the Houston series. Yeah. Just go listen to the OU recap.
Listen to the one after Houston. That was fun. Hey, real quick, before we get to Frog Ball, I want to hear about it sounds like our correspondent, JD, has a full report on the pickleball court.
Okay.
JD, on to you.
We talked about pickleball a few weeks ago, right? And I think from that conversation, none of you guys have ever played. Am I remembering that right?
Sure.
No.
Okay. All right. So
yeah, played a bunch.
I will address these other three in the room, as well as all of our live viewers on YouTube. Shout out to you guys in the comment section. If you guys want to talk about something other than baseball, drop it in. If we like it, maybe we'll talk about it. But so I got my introduction to pickleball on Sunday while you guys were watching game three of the series. That's funny to me. Anyway, so I remember when we talked about pickleball a few weeks ago. I don't remember the whole conversation, but I remember saying that it looks like a very easy sport. So my opening statement on my pickleball review is, it's every bit as easy as it looks.
Shut up.
It's incredibly, to quote Wash, it's incredibly easy.
Is it like, so you know, softball is the easy equivalent to baseball?
It's, okay, so if you were to do the ratio of easiness, it's the easier ratio is greater with pickleball.
Who are you playing against, Jacob?
All right. So it was me and Tiffany against my best friend and his fiance. So we played mixed doubles. And then my best friend and I played singles against each other. And whether it's teams or individual, man, I was counting dubs all day. Okay, all right. Have you guys, what's your level of ping pong expertise?
Forrest Gump.
If you're good at ping pong, you're good at pickleball.
Nice. There you go. It seems like it's like the new, it's like how popular it's gotten. It seems like it's like the bougie version of like playing cornhole tailgate now.
Right.
Like it's everyone's weekend sport wants to hit up the pickleball court these days.
So that's my opening statement. Now, it's incredibly fun. It is a blast to play. I highly recommend it. If you haven't played before, go get you a paddle. Go play. Because you get like the right amount of exercise without being exhausted, like playing basketball or soccer.
LDC pickleball outing?
Dude, it's a lot of fun. And you can master the sport in 1.3 seconds. So there's not a huge learning curve. So you can just get out there, hit the ball around for a couple minutes, and then go at each other
competitively. You master the rules of the sport.
Yeah, that took a couple games.
Okay.
That took a couple games. But for the most part, you know, if you know ping pong, you know the rules. There's just some scoring quirks, some serving rules you got to remember. But you can pick it up really quickly.
Have you ever watched professional games on TV?
Yeah, that's what started the conversation, remember, because I was watching the tournament on ESPN.
Yeah.
Before we started recording. So I got curious to what you guys thought about pickleball. But yeah, man, I can't wait to go play again. I got addicted real quick.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of people move from tennis to pickleball as they get older because they can't run the entire court, but they can still win that smaller one.
And like serving in tennis is pretty hard.
Yeah.
So with pickleball, you're just kind of hitting it over the net and boom, you're volleying.
My kids.
But yeah, MK, I want to take you 1v1.
Yeah, my kids are right now at a point where like you can take them out and actually play a game, which is a lot of fun, right?
Okay.
So there's a spot not near campus, I guess, but on Rogers called Courtside Kitchen. Okay. So that's a solid place after a TCU baseball game, win or lose, you can air out your grievances.
That's what's cool about these pickleball spots is it seems like they all incorporate a food and drink option along with the pickleball.
Yeah,
I kind of like that aspect of the game.
Yeah, it's like those spots that used to have like sand volleyball courts with a bar, but sand volleyball is also way harder. So pickleball is a lot more fun. You can have some beers between games, and it's not going to affect your game too much.
All right, so I'm getting chirped in the comments. I'll take anyone on anytime, anywhere, any place. Name it, I'll be there.
I think you're heavily overestimating your skill. Because you've played against one couple.
Okay. Or, well, you know what? Hey.
Pickleball. There's
a piece of it. I got Luke level confidence right now.
So there's a piece of it that's very similar to racquetball, where mm-hmm. you may play against a person who doesn't look like they know what they're doing. But if they know where to place the ball, they have a lot more skill than somebody with speed or strength.
So let me give you my racquetball background. I picked that up when I was stationed in Japan way back in the day. So I was in really good shape, and I could just run across the court all day long, right? And I would smoke all my buddies in racquetball. I entered a tournament because, like, I'm overestimating my pickleball skill. I was overestimating my racquetball skill. First round, I got matched up with, like, this 45-year-old woman, and I don't think she moved three steps the whole match and smoked my ass, like, 21-5. she knew exactly where to hit it every time. So yeah, I'm sure I'll start running into players like that in pickleball too.
And the reason I say that is, so my mom is in her 70s and she plays pickleball once a week. She's in leagues where she lives. So when we get together, I don't destroy her, is what I'm saying. Like we actually have a pretty good back and forth because she knows where to go with the ball, and she also follows my body movements and watches mm-hmm. me understanding where I'm going to hit it next. Now, clearly that's due to my lack of play, right? I play twice a year, three times a year. But anyway.
All right, 1v1, MK, let's go. And then whoever wants to take us on, let's plan this thing.
Because
I can't wait to play again.
Post-game picks.
But, yeah. Hey, maybe we'll play Saturday and Sunday afternoon.
I like it.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right. I don't know what we're going to do here. Frogs lose all four games of the week. Tuesday night was embarrassing. Lost at UGA.
All right. Hold on. Let me cut you off there because I don't mind losing that game. Like, okay. Yeah, when you say we lost all four in the week, it makes it sting more. Not, but would you really feel better if we were 1-3, but we beat UTA? Like,
no. The answer is no.
Absolutely not.
TCU has nothing left to prove in non-conference play. I don't care that they dropped their first game.
It doesn't really matter regardless of outcome is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, it was their first non-conference loss of the year. I don't take anything away from that. They weren't playing Carson Bowen. I don't really remember the lineup, but
question I do have that was brought up in our group chat during the game was it was kind of an odd pitching night. So you had Ben Hampton, but they pulled him after two innings. It's not like he was getting rocked. So then Mosiello comes in, gives up four runs on four hits. And then after that, you saw guys that we really haven't seen a lot of: Colt Taylor, Storm, Hairholzer, Braden Sloan, and Caden Parker, obviously those last two guys. But just, I think we had questions on this is kind of weird. It was a weird Tuesday night.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, power conferences, they always lose or they lose midweek games.
Yeah.
I mean, any of your top 25.
I'm not concerned as a win or loss. That's not what I'm saying. We were specifically talking about the rotation for the night.
Right. So to me, that tells me that they had a plan for each pitcher, regardless of result. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to ride Ben Hampton's hot hand now. No, they said, this is the plan going in. We're going to stick to it.
Yeah, we got to save Ben Hampton for the weekend.
That's right. Now, I know you're being a little sarcastic.
That worked out. But,
that's actually true, right? So if he was already planning on starting on Sunday, then he's not going to go more than two on Tuesday.
Yeah, makes sense. Tough for Mosiello. Hope you can bounce back from that one. Well, anything else on UTA? Martin or Garrett?
No.
We had a first career home run.
Did we?
Zach Wattis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
First career hit.
The game feels like it was a month ago. So
it does. It feels like
it's a hard time remembering. I couldn't remember who played that night.
Right. I was waiting for you guys to pick me up there. Like, I had the stat. Yeah. I just couldn't remember Zach Wattis.
You had the stat, but not the name?
All of Zach Wattis' family listening to the pod, ready for it. We couldn't even remember it was him that hit it.
Nobody knows TCU baseball like the LDC.
Yeah.
I remember.
Okay, but
we've got three games over the weekend in Cincinnati. Frogs traveled to the Bearcats.
Did they travel?
I don't know if it was. I didn't look this up, but it felt like one of the worst weekends they've had in the Big 12. Not necessarily because they got swept. We got swept against Oklahoma at home. This one felt worse based on what we expected to be the competition. Frogs score two runs in every game and no more than that. Let's see, on Friday. So here's the deal. Tolley was pitching. I followed a couple innings, but fortunately spent the rest of my night celebrating my buddy's 40th birthday. And I didn't see the meltdown in the sixth inning where apparently he still had a no hitter with two outs. Bases were loaded. And somehow gives up three runs, and then Abel gives up another. What happened in that inning? That kind of that meltdown in the sixth inning.
He lost control.
Yeah.
Lost command.
So my theory on Tolley in this game is: so TCU got the 1-0 lead, and then basically just packed it in for the night. They weren't very competitive at the plate after that, you know. And then Tolley, I think, felt like, okay, I have to pitch a shutout. Like, I have to be perfect. I think he put too much pressure on himself, especially when Cincinnati got a couple guys on in that inning. I think he put too much pressure on himself and just kind of lost command because of it.
I mean, look at the way he was selling out for bunts.
Yeah, true. He also got over 100 pitches again before the wheels fell off there.
Yeah, Cincinnati was making him work for the outs a little more than other teams have.
They absolutely were. He ended up with 106 pitches, I believe it was. Yeah, 106. So before the wheels kind of came off with two outs, which is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, they had a bunt single that, I don't know. I don't want to be too hard on Luke Boyers playing third base because it's kind of out of necessity, but that really shouldn't have been a hit.
Martin,
it's exactly like what you would think a right fielder playing third base would look like.
Martin, yeah, I don't want to be too critical about it. But
you were in Cincinnati, but did you go to the Reds game on Friday?
Yeah, I was watching the Mets play at the Reds on Friday.
Martin, are you okay?
No.
You look like you're struggling.
I'm struggling like Frog Ball USA.
How was the game with the Reds? Was that any better?
Oh yeah, way better.
Got to see Hunter Green.
Yeah, so you know, I'm really, after what happened, I'm kind of upset that Brandon Williamson and Nick Lodola weren't pitching like 2 days that weekend, so I could miss two TCU games. That would have been sweet. Yeah, so Nick Lodolo still on the IL, Brandon Williamson on the IL. I looked at the pitching matchups. I saw Hunter Green was pitching on Friday, so I decided I'd go to that game instead. It was pretty good. He's throwing 100 miles an hour. The dude that just won, what, National League Hitter of the Week or something, saw him hit a home run. That was cool.
This is Spencer Steer.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him hit a home run. The ballpark's amazing. I think people just hate on Great American Ballpark because it's in Ohio. A lot of people hate Ohio for some reason. I think it's a great park. I think out of the ones I've been to, maybe top seven, I think it's like top 10, you know, overall.
It looks pretty awesome, man. I don't really know what the hate is for Ohio, because I've always heard Cleveland's actually really cool, and no city gets shit on more than Cleveland, except maybe
fun times in Cleveland today. Cleveland.
And what's really funny about the Cleveland hate is like no city hates Cleveland more than Cincinnati.
Well,
Cincinnati's a funny place. Like there, it reminded me a lot of Texas as far as how they have their own thing, right? Like they're so independent of the rest of the state of Ohio. They love their tri-state area. Cincinnati, Kentucky, and Indiana. Like they're all about it. Their airport's in Kentucky. They have their own chili. They have their own ice cream. They have their own chips. They have their own pizza place. Like Kroger's like 150 years old, and it's from Cincinnati. I did not know that. They love fucking Kroger.
How was that Cincy lager you had at the ball?
Oh game? Yeah, they have their own beer, the Cincy Light. So that's it's made by a brewery. Oh man, and then they have so many breweries. Like they love beer, German beer specifically. They have like a brewery district. I forget what it's called, Rhine something in German, right? The brewery that makes Cincy Light, I think it's like part of their NIL too. So for every can that you buy of Cincy Light, like it goes towards NIL. So it's a lager, that Cincy Light, so it tastes kind of like a Mexican beer.
Nice.
Like a Modelo.
If you're gonna get a cheap beer, the Mexican style lager is the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's, you know, a light beer. So
right.
I mean,
I guess that's what I meant. Not really cheap, but a light beer.
Right, right. I mean, I think it's like the same price as like another generic light beer. Like, I don't know, man. The metro area just loves Cincinnati. They like, I don't know, like I got the vibe like they wanted to secede from their other states and just make their own fucking state. That's the vibe that I got.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. We'll hear more about the actual Cincinnati ballpark in a bit.
Let's get through these games so we don't talk about baseball anymore.
A better Friday night than you know Martin had than we had. But Saturday, Lewis got wrecked early, gave up 6 runs in the first 2 innings on 5 hits and 3 walks. Frogs put up kind of a whimper of an effort. They got 2 back later on, but they never really threatened in the game. It felt like it was never in question that they were just going to kind of hang out and chill the rest of the game. I guess the only bright spot, or maybe one of the bright spots of the weekend was Mason Bixby. He came in after Lewis in the third inning and pitched 4 2/3. He gave up 0 runs, only 1 hit, and had 8 strikeouts. He looked absolutely dominant. I kind of mentioned this on the Discord, but he throws the ball 95 to 97 very effortlessly. I mean, it looks like a guy getting up there throwing in the 80s, and but he's so big that that ball just slips right out of his hand, and he was striking guys out left and right. That's all the notes I have for Saturday.
Boy, that lineup, the lineup rotation is getting a little crazy. Like Kirk and TJ, they're just like gasping at straws for answers right now. You had Jake Dewar in the lineup on Saturday. Zach Wattis had two at bats, and then he was subbed for Gabe Miranda. Man, they're looking for anybody to hit the ball.
Hey, Gabe right Miranda now. Got his first hit.
Not according to the box score.
Did he? Was that not that game?
No.
They had three hits. Sam Myers had two of them. Carson Bowen had one, and that and his goose eggs all the way down the lineup.
That is all she wrote, boys.
Yep.
Carson Bixby did everything he could to keep us in that ball game, and the bats continued to be anemic.
11 strikeouts, three hits, two runs, same old story. Okay, so you remember what we talked about last week? You know, they swept Houston. Is this going to be, you know, the turning point, or was it like the dead cat bounce? Man, it's really starting to feel like it's not a slump anymore. It's just the identity, and nobody has answers, man.
Well, you know, Bill Parcells once said, "You are what your record says you are,"
and he's wrong. I've always hated that quote.
Remember when we interviewed Kirk and he said that the players write the lineup?
Yeah.
Do you think that it changes based on the batting practice that day?
It's possible.
Because, yeah, like, you know, and not that I'm even upset that they're changing it, because it's clear we haven't figured out what the right order is, right? Like that has not provided that, you know, maybe Chase Brunson leading off, maybe that's going to be set for a little bit. Maybe you're still going to have Logan and Anthony and, you know, a couple Curtis Byrne up near the top. But outside of that, I mean, I would be curious when the last time we had consecutive games with the same batting order, you know?
What about this lineup has proven that they deserve consecutive games? I think it's just trying to find someone, see if they can provide a spark.
Yep. And
I just got to find that spark. And with the results the way they were these past couple of games, it looks a lot like throwing darts at a wall and seeing what sticks insofar as lineup goes, and nothing's really sticking outside of guys like Chase Brunson, who I would definitely want to give credit for having a good series. But for the most part, man,
dude, Sam Myers had a great series.
Yeah, Sam Myers as well. Sam Myers
six for 11. He was their best hitter.
Well, let's get through Sunday and then we'll talk to Martin about his experience in Cincinnati. So Sunday, the Bearcats put up 8 runs in the first 2 innings behind Ben Hampton and Zach Coyer. So let's be honest, or I'll be honest, that pretty much freed up the rest of my afternoon because it was an 11 o'clock game. I took my dog on a walk to the Trinity River and, you know, just kind of was able to lower my blood pressure a little bit, enjoy the weather outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, periodically checked in, not expecting anything. And sure enough, they delivered on that. They were run ruled 13-2. And
run ruled in a conference game, dude.
In a conference game. And really it was one of those like, hey, you know, what's the one rule we talk about? Don't get swept. Well, they just said first 2 innings, they might as well have left at that point. I mean, they should have just ended the game.
This game was over before I remembered it started at 11.
Yeah. A lot of people, well, there were some people that chimed in and said, hey, what did I miss? And you're like, the entire game happened and it's the third inning.
Yeah.
Yep. I got the Twitter notification that we were officially swept via run rule while looking at the hippo at the Fort Worth Zoo. So there you go.
All right.
Oh, Sunday was my pickleball day.
Yeah.
So
the zoo was tight. It was great weather. Did the zoo?
Dude, I just freaking love the zoo so much. I like going to the zoo by myself. I like going to the zoo by myself so I could stay at whatever exhibit for however long I want.
It's a good time, man. Love it.
Tell us about the ballpark, Martin.
It was very interesting. Definitely the most interesting ballpark probably in the Big 12. you know, everybody else is pretty much flat all around the ballpark. You know, you got buildings, you got the that weird basketball arena has that weird gray mural or whatever it's called on the side of the building. A lot of old buildings around the ballpark. It's kind of sunken in, and it's like in the middle of campus. So you got people like walking to class all around. There's a parking garage. They charge $5 for parking. There's a lot of construction going on. I don't know if it's improvements to the ballpark or not, but it's pretty cool. Other than the playing surface sucks. It's like some old ass turf. I don't know.
It looks cool.
Are you okay?
Did you catch AIDS or something up there? What's going on?
I mean, dude, it was embarrassing. Yeah, it was embarrassing being there. Honestly,
are you just sad? Did you get shit talked at all?
I mean, there was like 12 Cincinnati students that like actually cared about being at a baseball game. And so on Saturday, they sat across behind third base dugout. So I was fine. But then on Sunday, they sat like right behind me.
Did they have walking tacos?
Nah, the concessions were pretty tame.
I think did they like have walking spaghetti?
Nacho.
Oh yeah. Did you do any of that crap spaghetti?
Yeah, I went to Skyline.
Did you do cinnamon roll chili?
So I think we found our answer.
That's Kansas State.
No, it's in Ohio too.
But yeah, I mean, Sunday was like super embarrassing. They didn't have any juice, which I thought was interesting because Peyton Chanier was there and there was like no chance that he was going to play. So I thought that was interesting. I figured they took him to bring the juice. I thought he would be, but I mean, damn, you could hear crickets in the dugout.
That's really interesting based on Coach's Instagram post that day. Do you guys see that quote? I don't know if you posted it.
Kobe Bryant.
You can always hear a good team. The bad teams you never hear. They don't ever talk. They don't talk to each other. They don't talk on defense. They don't talk in transition. Communication is critical. It sets the ceiling and ensures bonds are being created.
That is interesting.
Well,
landed on deaf ears this weekend.
But that I think this was before Saturday and Sunday. That's why I pointed it out, because you're telling us that they were silent on Sunday. So,
I mean, could you hear the Cincinnati dugout? I mean,
good guy, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Martin, I texted you if that was fans or if that was fans chirping.
No, there was 12 fans. Half of them were girlfriends. You could hear them on the broadcast. I'm sure they would do the left, right after a strikeout, and they did that a lot. But other than that, dude, it was the dugout, and they were, I don't know.
It sounded like a softball dugout.
So I had planned on updating my projections for the rest of the season because TCU actually got a lot of help, I guess you could say, this weekend. Had they just won 2 games in Cincinnati, we'd be in pretty good shape. I did not update the projections. I'm going to wait and see what happens at Lupton this weekend, because this is pretty much, I think, their final chance to get back in the season against Tech. Remember I said they needed to only lose 3 games for the rest of the season. Well, they done went and lost all 3 in 1 weekend. So
you're saying there's a chance.
Well, the good news is that number's gone up, because they got some help. Like BYU took 2 or 3 from Texas, and Oklahoma lost a series. I'm trying to do this off the top of my head, but
that's what we kept saying the whole weekend, is like the Big 12 put it on a platter for the Frogs to take advantage.
Exactly. So nobody wants to win this conference. It's not just us. And hell, you can look around the country. Like Wake Forest went into the weekend 4-8. They were the unanimous number one to start the season.
Florida looks like
Florida.
Crap.
Look at LSU.
They're out of the top 25.
Yep. Texas. I mean, you could say the same for Texas right now. Texas Tech, their fans are pissed. So
I think LSU has a worse conference record than we do.
Yeah, there's not much room on this Homer and Bart join us couch right now because everybody's joining.
You've got nine of the 14 teams in the Big 12 with either 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah. It's still there. As bad as it is, it's still there. It's still there for the damn taking. Now they got to figure something the hell out, and whatever that something is, I don't know if anybody knows what the answer is. Sometimes, man, it's nobody's fault. You have the talent, you have the coaching. It's just a team doesn't come together and play well. Like, look at the football team last year. They had enough talent to win. They just didn't win games.
Is it a chemistry thing?
Confidence, I still think. That's still my best guess. Individual. I'm sure the guys all like each other enough and want to be there. They want to be on the team. They want to win.
I mean, whenever it's this team, it looks like a team that's just not having fun. Well, and I obviously
they're getting their ass kicked.
Yes. But I mean, whenever they're playing, they're not. It's like they expect worst case scenario to happen going
in. That's a confidence thing. I agree with you. That just leads back to confidence. So
it's unique to have a team where when you get down, let's take the first 13 games out of it, because that was just it was like a fever dream, right? It was like they just, every time they made it happen. And since that 14th game and on, they have not had the same confidence in middle or late innings to say, hey, we can do this. We can come back and win the game.
I've almost forgotten about that.
That's what's so weird, dude. It's like, it's literally like watching a completely different ball club from those first 13 games. It looks like a completely different squad out there.
In some ways, they are different. Like, the injuries suck, you know. But
yeah, that's still true. It's the way we're approaching our
bats. We talked about all offseason how much depth they have, so that shouldn't be the death nail.
Yeah.
No.
We talked about it. The reason I remember it is because they put the graphic up and the Cincinnati broadcasters had TCU, the comeback kids, talking about, you know, six comebacks of the year, and four of them were in the seventh, eighth, ninth inning. I mean, just, I was like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, yeah,
right.
We did have those wins early on in the year.
Yeah, we were having fun. Now we're not having so much fun.
I watched all 27 innings, and I don't know if it was to prop up Cincinnati.
You didn't watch 27 innings?
Oh, yeah, 25 innings. Whatever.
You didn't watch, what I mean? No.
Yeah, it was 25.
When did they hit in the bottom of the ninth?
Whatever. Jesus fucking Christ. Okay.
24 innings.
He watched the first three of the second game a couple more times to make sure that it really actually happened. You know.
Shoot.
Well, go make your point, Ray. You got to fight through me giving you a hard time. Be a professional. Do the show.
He's just going to lay it on you now.
We talked about this in the meeting. Do the show for the listener.
Moron dog. Golly. No, but the Cincinnati broadcast was very complimentary of TCU all weekend.
Dude, it was. Like, and kind of to the Martin's embarrassing factor on Saturday when we were losing, they broke away from the game on the broadcast for a really long time. And we're interviewing a Cincinnati basketball player. And I guess he'd like never watched a baseball game or whatever. His buddy plays for Cincinnati's team. And they're like, yeah, you know, this TCU team, they were the projected number one team in the league, projected to win the conference. And this guy's like, oh, dang, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Whoa. No way. It's kind of funny.
These guys?
Yeah, these guys right here?
I tweeted, I think it was on Saturday or maybe Sunday. I think it was Sunday. That we're in just make the tournament mode. And then an Oklahoma State fan responded, the postseason tournament or the Big 12 tournament?
Because we're not going to Arlington right now. If the season ended today, we would not be in Arlington.
Good thing we moved the post-game picks payoff to the last weekend of the season.
All right. So Maddie asks, the odds we make it
right
the postseason at this rate. At this rate, the chances are zero.
Right. Yeah, at this we need to change the rate.
Yeah.
Dude, that change is gonna start this weekend.
Four in a row, it's not a pretty good rate to make postseason play.
Let's revisit this after this weekend, because I'm saying this is do or die time now.
Absolutely.
It would not surprise if they come out and sweep Tech this weekend.
No result will surprise me. There's nothing that can happen this weekend that will surprise me.
They're halfway through the Big 12, right? They've played 15 games. They have 15 games left. So it doesn't mean they can't turn it around. You know, what does a 500 in conference get you in the postseason? Does that guarantee a regional?
It gets you to Arlington.
Well, I'm not worried. Like, that's really like worst case scenario. I think
that with our non-conference, we'd be in decent shape.
Be a three seed somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe a two, maybe.
No way.
Well, it matters what everybody else does too.
Yeah.
Because like in the SEC, as long as you're 500, you're a two seed.
Do y'all think this weekend, on Sunday, Mason Bixby gets the start?
Probably.
Either Bixby or Parker. I mean, both of them pitch pretty well.
Yeah, and we don't have midweek games to worry about, so.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done talking about baseball. Let's just get through this next weekend, and then we can either kind of have an early funeral or have optimism about getting back in the season. What do you say?
Kind of where you have to be. I mean, this is kind of the definition of a do or die weekend for the Frogs.
Maddie, is there an updated injury list after this weekend? Anything new or changed from?
You're asking her?
Micah Kendrick, blew his UCL. He's out for the season.
I didn't know it was that bad.
What's his name?
Logan Maxwell. His hammy is again especially on Friday.
Oh, that was something cool. So Logan Maxwell's like entire family, he's less than 2 hour drive away from Cincinnati. They had like 200 people there. Now, I don't know why Cincinnati said there was over 1,000 people in attendance, but
200 of it was Logan Maxwell's friends and family.
There definitely was not over 1,000, like 700 tops, and then like I'm 200 is Maxwell's family.
632 for Friday.
Yeah, 11 was miserable though.
1,100 on Saturday.
Yeah. There's no
and
way.
Then 1,200, like baseball fever is striking Cincinnati right now.
Dude,
the crowds got bigger and bigger each day.
Dude, it doubled from Friday once they had the opportunity to sweep.
Well, now Friday the weather looked terrible.
Dude, bandwagon.
I think those 12 students just got closer to the mic.
Yeah.
Each game.
All right.
Mentioned Maxwell, Kendrick. Anything else?
I don't know if Curtis Byrne got hurt, but he didn't play all weekend after Friday. He didn't play the rest of the weekend.
I have nothing on Curtis Byrne.
All right. Okay. What's next, fellas?
Any other cleanup from your Cincinnati trip? Any other highlights?
Yeah. Left the game early on Sunday.
Good.
Apparently I didn't miss much. It was pretty much over as I'm leaving the parking garage. I really wasn't expecting them to get run ruled with Cole Klecker coming in. Or maybe I did. I don't know. But we went to the Union Station Museum. We went to the Cincinnati Art Museum.
Okay.
We went to like three outlooks showing like the Cincinnati skyline. Cincinnati's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's... I would want to go to Cleveland first, but I would not mind taking a swim through Cincy. If I'm just talking about Ohio cities, you know.
Right. I mean,
I've gone up to Cleveland this weekend and watched the women's championship. Final Four.
I wasted enough time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right. What else?
You want to hear something crazy? Colt Taylor.
Yeah.
So he's got a zero ERA, right?
Yep.
You want to guess what his left on base percentage is?
I think he told us, but
what's a normal percentage, Martin?
Like 60% is bad. I mean, like you're having bad luck. Like 90% is like good luck, right? His is negative 50.
What does that mean?
How do you arrive at that?
He's letting more guys score than he is putting on base.
Okay. So he comes in with inherited runners and they're all scoring.
Yeah. Every single one of them is scoring, but he's not giving up one of his own.
That is not a team player.
That happened on Sunday. I think he came in with the bases loaded, every single one scored, and then he got out of the inning.
That's impressive.
It's really insane stat. Yeah, and he's only got like three innings pitched.
Statistically, it looked really impressive, but his teammates are like, "What the Colt?"
We have four regulars with ops below 600. That literally just made me dizzy.
Look at their conference numbers.
I am. Oh shit. Yeah.
Disgusting.
I mean, it is a very different lineup than the one we broke fall with, right?
Yeah. Which is crazy because in fall, these dudes couldn't miss. Dude, they were raking in fall.
Yeah, it's not like our pitching's been really bad.
Okay, but Bixby didn't pitch in the fall.
Right.
Rodriguez didn't really pitch in the fall.
Flecker.
Well, I don't know if that would have hurt.
It was really a lot of Ben Hampton and the guy from Arkansas.
Zach Morris, but he had a good fall. Tolley had a good fall. Both sides.
Who were they?
Projected rotation. Do we already talk about that? Tolley, Rodriguez, Mason Bixby.
Bixby, yeah. Sunday.
I felt bad for Rodriguez because every starter is going to have a bad start.
Yeah.
His whip is. Just
hope that your offense can bail you out. And
I'm telling you, dude, this offensive struggle is getting to the pitchers.
Well, most teams score in Cincinnati. I mean, it's a small ballpark. It's
not a very good team.
It's not a very good team. Like, all of their starters had like 6-7 ERAs, and they fucking averaged two runs
a game. So now are they in the top 10 in the conference?
Probably.
No, they had a freshman on Sunday come out with, I think he had like an 8 ERA.
Who do they play next week?
Cincinnati?
No. They'll probably get fucking torn up.
Yeah, they're going to get swept.
Yeah. Their offense
is good.
There's really nothing worse than losing to programs that don't even care about baseball.
Well, they're sitting pretty at 7-5 in the conference right now.
Do you think that'll change as they spend more time in the Big 12?
They'll have to win it.
They have a good ball coach. He was really good at Western Michigan or Central Michigan, one of the two Michigan schools.
Probably Central because they were the better team. I've never heard of Western Michigan's baseball.
Did y'all see their center field strip in the middle of the game?
No.
For the audio listeners only, we do have some friends in the chat. Thanks for joining us live.
Yeah, there's a lot of group coping going on here.
But our friend Cam just jumped in to cheer us up with bro. Their shortstop came in to pitch and shut us out.
Electric. You know, they say shortstops have the best arms on the team.
Okay. Dude, I never saw the season going this way. There was no way to predict this.
No way.
No. know, and it's back to your confidence thing, right?
Right.
Because right now they feel like they have to have the perfect at bat, make the perfect pitch, make the perfect play, the perfect throw in the field.
Yeah.
And it's like baseball's a sport of imperfections. Let that silly, let all the poop out. Just let it go. Flush it out. And like I said, have some fun. Baseball's a fun sport.
Well,
yes, the results again, have sucked.
Again, I'm not like, I'm not quitting on the season, but boy, check me next Monday after they play Tech.
Series win this weekend coming up.
You gotta sweep it, dog. But I will take a series win just to feel, just to keep me interested for the next week.
Yeah.
I mean, it could turn at a, you know,
drop of a hat. I mean, look,
but this feels worse than last year, man. This feels extra hopeless. Like,
yeah.
Last year you saw signs of potential and they still have the talent, but they are not, dude, they're getting like two or three hit like every other game
all the time. I mean, you know, part of that is we had Braden Taylor and Cole Fontenelle. Those guys were consistently good hitters. So maybe like the rest of the lineup didn't, you know, we were maybe like a hit short, but I mean, we are so short right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this weekend it was what, Sam Myers?
Yeah. And you're still not getting anything from your top prospects, you know, your returner guys that we just penciled in as having good seasons.
Everybody had like one hit that was important, but that was about it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Bowen had a nice double off the wall. You had Chase with a home run, you know, just
right.
That was it. Like they weren't stringing these things together in the same innings or the same games.
No.
Dude, isn't that crazy? I'm glad that game started off, you know, home run, and then didn't they got a, was it a walk?
It was a walk
or a single. Yeah. And then you're thinking, okay, you got a freshman on the mound on Sunday. Yeah. Let's take it to him. Then it's a double play strikeout and they're out of the inning.
That was a pretty bad omen for what was to come.
I'll tell you this, after that home run, the Cincinnati dugout was not fazed at all.
They're like, cool.
There's their one run of the day, boys.
Cute home run.
They're walking up like Paul. I have no questions from Twitter. Obviously, the chat's already shared theirs. I have no interesting questions. There's nothing really else to ask. Where else do you want to go before we close out tonight, guys?
Jackson Day has a question or a comment.
Very eloquently put there, Jackson. Right. I really appreciate the input.
So I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's FUUUUUUCK.
Mm-hmm. And it's all caps as well. All caps.
Need one U for every conference loss.
It's it's Florida. Is it Florida?
Right. Florida, upstate, uptown university.
Cuckolds.
pregame long drinks at my house, fellas, on Friday if you're up to it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Got a big weekend with hosting Texas Tech. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good. Well, I hope it's a good crowd regardless. I think there's probably some people that, you know, look at the good series and they show up anyway, regardless of record. So let's hope it's loud.
Should be great weather. I'll definitely be there Friday, but depending on how that game goes, it may be pickleball for the rest of the weekend. We'll see.
Dude, I'm telling you, series win. As TCU's been, Texas Tech has been just as bad.
Well, dude, Kansas, Cincinnati.
We can jump them in the rankings if we sweep them.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Houston series, right? No midweek game. And then they came out and swept. No midweek games this week. They're going to come out on fire.
If you follow us
runs
long,
on Friday.
In the episode, we appreciate it. We realize our energy is a little low tonight. Not as excited about, you know, frog ball over the weekend, but hoping for good things in the future. And like Jacob said, we're 5-10. We've got 15 games to go. Everything is in front of us. We just hope that we can see, you know, a few things to help us help remind us that that is possible this weekend against Texas Tech. So good chatting tonight, fellas. And until Friday night, we'll see you soon. Go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
Go Bring your Frogs. Brooms. Go Frogs.
Sweep incoming.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Oh, I forgot to tell y'all. I forgot to tell y'all this crazy thing.
That's right. You mentioned something.